I have a motion and a second for that?
I'll make the motion.
Second. We'll have a state, a roll call vote, and state your reasons, please.
Tom Halpin.
Yeah, I like the idea of combining that. It is oil rigs.
Thank you.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote yes. I think it's, this actually cleans up what could be a problem in the, down the years on the line for both the applicant and the city. So I think we're making the right administrative decision at least. But besides that, this gets into the safety of the building itself, traffic and so on around the building and inside the building itself going through. There's a reduction of density that goes as sort of, you have a, you've got, the building has been rehabbed, so it has a desirable visual effect. And of course, there's public safety involved inside with them going in and out of the building, the way it's been reconfigured and done. So that was the case. It's a mixed use as well. So we're getting affordable having, having commercial use and maintaining that for the benefit of our citizens, but at the same time, having a residential use that's associated with that. It makes the building more financially viable. And that's important for the success, the long-term success in the community itself. So, and so with that, there's no other choice but to vote in favor. So I vote yes.
Roman Zabihach.
I also vote in favor of the application, using the D variance as a vehicle to eliminate two lots and combine into one. I think is well justified and very consistent with what we've seen done for the city.
Lorraine Salata.
I'll vote in favor of it. You know, we always look at D variances with extra scrutiny.
More.
But by agreeing to make this one property with one address, I think we clean up a lot of the odds and ends, we'll call them, and just it makes it more uniform. And it looks terrific, and that whole block is looking terrific, and it just fits in beautifully. So, yes, I do vote for it.
Peter Taco.
I will also vote in favor of it. I believe that the use of the D-Berry to clean this up was a practical solution.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor of it. There's really no negative impact. It cleans up the record, and it's a great-looking product.
Greer Gaskell.
I vote yes for reasons already stated.
What can I say? Chris, you did it again. You've been approved again, and you've given us one good project, so now you're a second good project.
Thank you very
much. Keep
it going.
Good luck.
Thank you very much. Bobby? We have one more.
Okay. Yeah. You're recused. Yeah. Okay. You get to do anything tonight.
Oh, boy. All right, Wendy. Yeah, there's no football on tonight, so you're gonna, Yellowstone's not on tonight, so you're in trouble.
All right, Nick, where are you?
Scott, always nice seeing you, Scott.
I can't hear you.
Nice seeing you, Scotty Scott.
Nice seeing you.
Yes. Take care. Have a good day.
Nice job.
Thank you very much.
Okay. The next application is that of 6900 Ventnor Avenue.
Where are they?
Hallway.
They're in the hallway.
They're in the hallway. Here he comes,
buddy.
Nick, you're up.
We're ready to go.
Do you want to do a preamble on this, or do you want to let him go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. We charge rent, John. We charge rent for space for those. Okay.
Send it to Arthur W. Ponzio Company.
Okay. All right. Nick, what we're going to do is we're going to swear everybody in, and then Roger is going to give a preamble first.
Okay.
And then you will go through continuously with your application.
I just have two people to swear in.
That's good.
All right.
So let's get your people sworn in now.
All right. We got.
Whoever's going to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we can swear in unless there's a technical question. Whenever you're ready.
John, all can right. You go and get sworn in, please, too.
Okay. Just state your name and address.
Robert Kravitz.
Robert?
6900 Ventnor is
okay.
The property.
Okay. And Mr. Barnhart?
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue.
Okay. If you can each raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Great.
John,
thank
you. Could you state that you're a licensed engineer?
Yes, I'm and a licensed professional engineer, a licensed professional planner, and a certified municipal engineer in the state of New Jersey.
Okay, and we'll let the record be... And the record reflected that his credentials are acceptable.
Thank you.
Are you ready, Mr. Chairman?
We are ready, and Roger is going to go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. This application is based on the application of 6900 Ventnor PKPZ LLC, 6900 Ventnor Avenue, Block 78, Lot 12. C variances, minor subdivision and use variance, D variance, which is D3, for not meeting the conditions of a use that's permitted in the zone. Materials reviewed on bottom of page 1. Plans reviewed on top of page 2. Just a little bit of history for this project. Last year, as you were aware, our board decided to institute a by right subdivision committee to streamline it. So the plans came in, and it was a by right subdivision. However, the setback lines were not correct on the plan, so we never signed off on the plans until the front yard setback on Ventnor Avenue was shown correctly. Thereupon, my discussion with Mr. Talvakia was, you know, that 12-foot setback would really provide a hindrance to develop that property as two individual single-family homes. So I recommended that you ought to look at the conditional use or attached single family, because the front yard setback of Ventnor Avenue is pushing the house back closer to the property line that would be shared with the new two lots. And he agreed with it. We talked about it, kind of sat on a back burner for a while, but here we are again. So I think you're going to see that this is probably the best use for this property, utilizing it's a by right subdivision. However, the setbacks have to be there. So I just described the project pretty much. Zoning chart is on page 2, continue on page 3. There are some variances that are inherent of the property. And the first one, of course, is the conditional use variance. The ordinance says that you have to meet certain conditions, criteria, in order to allow a conditional use of attached single-family homes. Another thing I want to point out is the ordinance does not address attached single-family homes when one of the lots is a corner lot. It assumes that every lot's going to be in the middle of a block. Well, of course, each block has to have an end. So they are forced to have these variances. So the conditional use variance. Front yard setback, proposed lot A for Ventnor West, 12 feet is minimum. Front yard setback, 10.96 feet exists, and 10.09 feet is proposed. Again, at 10.09 feet is to the outcropping or the projection, which I think the board agrees that typically on these corner properties, we want the corners or the fronts to look like front yards, not just a blank wall. Otherwise, they do meet the 12-foot setback for the majority of that building. Front yard setback to the building proposed lot A on Newark Avenue. Again, 12 feet is the required minimum setback. 20.87 feet exists for the one property that sat on there, and 10.57 feet is proposed. Front yard setback to the proposed lot B on Newark Avenue. Since the ordinance does require these buildings to be symmetrical, the other side of this house will need the same variance of 10.57 feet where 12 feet is required. Front yard setback to the porches and decks, proposed lot A for Ventnor Avenue. The ordinance says a 7-foot or a 5-foot encroachment is permitted based on that front yard setback being met. The front yard setback is not being met. So 7-foot setback and a minimum setback and 5 feet is proposed. Front yard setback, porches and decks for both lot A and B on Newark Avenue. Same thing, 7 feet encroachment or 7-foot setback, 5-foot encroachment, and 5.09 feet is proposed. 5.09 feet is basically 5'1". Side yard setback, proposed lot B, whereas 8 feet is a minimum side yard setback required for combined lot widths greater than 60 feet, and 7.08 feet is proposed. Again, it's 65 feet versus 60. There's two ranges, 7 foot and 8 foot. Rear yard setback and for lot A and B, 12 foot is a minimum, and 10.08 feet is proposed. Again, with the configuration of the new lots, you know, you had one lot where you have two front yards, one set, one side yard, one rear yard. Now you have the corner lot, same thing, two fronts, one side, one rear. And the interior lot is one front, two sides, one rear. Waivers, landscape plan, again, we can grant that landscape plan waiver now because home plans aren't coming in yet. So as a condition of approval, that all landscaping and shrub requirements will be met when the applicant submits the building plans. Again, comments. Everyone's read my report in the comments. I basically inserted the conditions of the attached single-family homes in the report. And as you can see, it's not a very complicated issue. And again, I will, in regard to the subdivision, all provisions of the title recordation law, NJSA 46 Collins 26B1, shall be met. And I believe I will turn this over to the applicant now.
Mr. Tomacchio, first, are you in agreement with Roger's report?
Yes, we are.
Okay. It's acceptable.
It is acceptable.
Okay, fine. Then please proceed.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Nick Tomacchio for the applicant. Good to see everybody. So with me is Robert Kravitz. He's the owner, principal, and the applicant here. John Barnhart, you know. So this is a house that's literally falling apart. So after talking to Roger about what would work there, because two single family lots wouldn't work with the setbacks because it has two fronts and a side yard, it'd be a very small single family. So this actually is a very good solution that's permitted as a conditional use in your ordinance, attached single family. And as Mr. McLaren mentioned, the key issue here for us is that Ventnor Avenue becomes a front yard along with Newark. So we have two fronts, which are 12 and 12. A side yard would normally be 8. So we actually, believe it or not, on a Ventnor, we meet the 12 feet from most of the house. But rather than just have a flat side of a house, we got the architecturals, we'll pass them out. There's a bump out of a few feet, and it creates a lot of interest on Ventnor Avenue. So it doesn't look like a typical side. It looks more like a front. And we think that's a big benefit. The other variances are, we think, consistent with the neighborhood. So the standard for conditional use variance is different than it is, say, for hardship variance or even the so-called C2 flexible C. A conditional use variance is a variance that can be granted if the lot can still accommodate the proposed use, notwithstanding the variance relief. So the key is, does this lot still work as kind of envisioned by the zoning plan, notwithstanding the variances? We think it does. We think the architecture is really nice. Here's the key. Both lots, the buildings are under the building coverage of what's permitted. So we're not trying to overbuild anything. But there are some variances. Again, we lose 4 feet effectively from Ventnor Avenue to the back because of the setback, the greater setback of 12 rather than 8. So that kind of crushed. And John will go through this. I don't want to be too repetitive. I'll be a little repetitive. So we think the board, in this case, we don't have to show hardship, and we don't claim hardship. And we don't have to show that it's a better planning alternative because it's not a C2. We just have to show that the property continues to be suitable for this proposed use, and we think it does for the reasons we'll go through in a little more detail. And again, when I look at an application and I try to think, is this overdeveloped? I look at building coverage, and this is under. We also have two parking spaces, which is compliant. We're going to meet the height requirement.
Four.
Two each, yeah. Each unit will have two.
Right.
So with that, John's been sworn in. I'm going to ask him to orient you to the location. We'd like to mark that as A1 in addition to the whole application. I don't know if Mr. Manos, you consider the application as submitted an exhibit or just part of the record already?
Yeah, I think the application package is part of the record. We'll call that, is that an aerial photo, A1?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's John, and John, if you can get up, I'm going to just pass out the
I'll call those A2, okay? Does that work, Nick, A2 for the architectural elevations?
So you're going to see the elevations, it's vinyl and a synthetic wood.
Nick? You're going to have to speak with the mic because we can't cover you as far as okay.
There's extras here. I don't know if these are different.
Okay. Yep, we're good.
All right, I'm going to start with the. This is just describing the specific piece of property.
You pick him up.
Pick him up. The property is at ground floor of Newark Avenue, Ventura Avenue. It has a frontage along Newark Avenue of 66 feet and a frontage along Ventura Avenue of 76 feet. Currently sitting on the property is a structure that is in need of demolition. It's really, really poor condition. It's a property that absolutely needs something to take place on it. The surrounding land uses are interesting. You have a real mix of land uses up there at this location. Immediately adjacent to the property on Newark Avenue, you've got a two-family building. Directly across Newark Avenue, or across Ventura Avenue, you have a few two-family buildings. Directly across the street, across Newark Avenue, you've got a commercial frontage, Ironwood Uncanning, and a couple of other uses right up on the avenue. So you have a mix of multifamily, some single family and commercial all right at this intersection. The site itself is adequately sized, it's in the R7 zone, and it's adequately sized for two single family detached building lots. As you know, your zoning for the district requires 30-foot wide lots, so you've got the square feet total area. This property meets that requirement. You can subdivide the property exactly into two equal lots and have two conforming lots as Roger pointed out earlier, our clients had gone down that path originally, we're thinking about
that's not a compliant lot, is it?
What they've come to the realization of,
65 feet?
Not just them, but many applicants have come to the realization
62 and a half feet?
And this board has approved it on many occasions, is that the ordinance doesn't really have a provision for quarter lots. When you have lots that have two charges, one being, in this case, being on Ventnor Avenue, and one being on Newark Avenue, it creates a real disadvantage to that corner lot. Although it's a conforming lot, it meets all the standards, it's the right width, it's the right depth, it's the right area, because there's no corner lot standard in Ventnor, it creates a situation where, as an example, if I have a 32-foot lot sitting right here, and I apply my required front yard setback, and I consider this a side yard, and I apply the minimum side yard, which is only 4 feet to this here, take 16 feet off the 32-foot wide lot, and you get a 16-foot wide house on that lot. Nobody wants to see that, especially not up on the avenue. You want to see something that's beautiful, something that's got some architectural design to it. And as you know, we have dealt with that on many, 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 many applications in the past, for those corner lots. Many land use ordinances have provisions in them, where when you have multiple frontages, you pick a main front, and then the second front gets a reduced yard allowance. Let's say your front yard is 12 feet, that second front might go down to 8 feet or 10 feet or something of that nature. So as our client's looking at this and saying, okay, I want to put forward the best project possible, obviously trying to stay as much in compliance with the ladies orders as can, what they decide to do is move forward with a single-family attached style of project. It fits in, we think, very well with the surrounding land uses and what's built around it because of the mixture of uses being both multifamily and commercial. But what it also does is it allows them to have a zero lot line party wall, which lets them have a nice, even though it's a variance, it's an interesting discussion, it's a generous side yard on the Newark Avenue side, nearly in compliance with the front yard on Ventnor Avenue, and in compliance in some areas, and mitigating in some areas along Newark Avenue, which I will explain. But it allows, what it creates a massing toward the center of the lots, allows the yards to be as large as they possibly can be. Obviously, our client doesn't want to give up on the density and that he would otherwise be permitted to have two homes on the lot. So we think that all in all, this is, although they pointed out, don't necessarily have to discuss the better planning alternative, we think this is the case from a planner's perspective, where this really is the best planning alternative for the specific lot. However, we do require variances from the ordinance in order to achieve that. This use as a attached unit, attached single-family house, is permitted as a conditional use in the R7 zone. The main condition, and now I know we've dealt with this a lot on projects where we've either been successful or unsuccessful, or lots that are narrower than the ordinance permit. But the main condition that this board looks for on these lots when you're going to do a attached two-family project in the R7 zone is you have at least 60 feet of lot frontage. And in this case, we have 66 feet of lot frontage. So we've met that standard. That the ordinance also has greater setbacks all the way around the building than your single-family district would be. I'm just going to walk around the building for a second. As an example, as a detached structure, we're allowed to go out within 4 feet of that side property line. With the proposal, we're actually required to be 8 feet. So what we propose is to have a 7-foot setback for the majority of the structure, and then there is one small bump out that creates some architectural appeal that does jump down to 5 feet. While the deviation from the conditional use standards, a home is permitted to be within 4 feet of that line for the entire length of that property. So we think that the request, while it is a variance, we think it's a de minimis request because it's greater than the ordinance actually permits for a detached structure. And we think that the benefits of what we're proposing here of an attached structure clearly outweigh that. I'll go to the opposite side of the building. That is on the Ventnor Avenue frontage. The requirement in the zone is 12 feet to the front yard. Would allow up to 5-foot projection. Our client has created a frontage along Ventnor Avenue that he doesn't want it to look like the size of the building. So it has a front look, it has a front porch. This building will appear as though it actually has two front doors, so to speak. What does that do? Well, it allows it to create a conforming building, which is hard to do along Ventnor Avenue for the majority of the building's length. 12 feet is required, and we are at 12 feet for the majority of it. When you get to that center architectural element to create that interest, it jumps down to 10 feet for the building wall, and then a projection that gets you within 5 feet of the first floor, which is required to be 7 feet. So, as an example, we could wipe that away, and we could eliminate two variances, but it's certainly not the better planning alternative. The better plan is to develop something like this. In the context of the surrounding neighborhood, does that stick out? Is that a sore thumb? Absolutely not. Number one, I think it's going to make the building much more aesthetically pleasing. Number two, if you go across the street, we've got a commercial building that is right to the front property line. So we don't have an established view corridor down this side of Ventnor Avenue that we are now impeding upon with our proposal. Move to the Newark Avenue frontage for a second. There are a couple deviations with the Newark Avenue setbacks that we propose. The majority of the building, as you can see, to the parking coming in is at 18 feet. We have a building, piece of building that overhangs in the center that drops down to 10.5 feet. That is a deviation from the ordinance. And then we have, we're proposing decks that are within 5 feet of the property line. Again, that is a deviation of the ordinance. I think that those are reasonable requests because if you look at, it's going to be a little bit hard to see from where you are, but just to give you an example, that front structure there is 12 feet from the front property line. What you can see for the entire length of our block is you have a mixture of porches, decks, and also in many cases, ground floor enclosed structures with decks above them, but all project well beyond the conforming requirements. So while we're a deviation of foot and a half to the building wall and then an extra 2 feet on the decks, we're going to be right in line with everybody else going down Hoover Avenue. So while those, again, although they are deviations, they were put together with thought and appropriateness for this block of Hoover Avenue. And then the last item with regard to setback is the rear yard. We are proposing 10 feet, 12 feet is required. What this comes down to is when you get a perfectly sized building and to make it work and try to have setbacks as large as we are around the perimeter, the building just wants to be a little bit longer to make the bedrooms lay out and to make the interior structure lay out appropriately. So that requirement is supposed to be 12 feet and we are requesting 10 feet. So how do you balance all of this? Well, I think the real telltale is what Mr. Tavak already said, and that is that when you look at the building and the lot covers as proposed for this project and what it does for this site as a whole and this corner, to give you an example, just to put some numbers to it, the corner lot, Lot A, which is this lot, is proposed to have a building coverage of 45%, where 60% is permitted. So just to create a value for you there, an additional 15% of that lot area is another 400 square feet of building coverage that we could have on that site. Now you have to make it work with setbacks, I understand, but just think about how much additional building mass that is on that site as compared to the conforming condition. The other lot is that you could actually achieve another 155 square feet. With regard to lot coverage, we are permitted at 75%. The lot A, the corner lot, is 60.7%, which is 385 square feet below the requirement, or the maximum permitted requirement. And the interior lot is at 65.4%, which is 222 square feet below the permitted requirement. So, allowing us to cluster this, allowing us to have a zero lot line, and create what we think are very appropriate requests all the way around the perimeter of the building, allow us to keep that building coverage down, allow us to keep the lot coverage down, allow us to have more green space, more landscape space around the perimeter of the building. And it does it at a location that works really well with the surrounding land use. This is a hard discussion if I'm in the heart of a single family neighborhood, detached building. That's not what we have here. So we think that this request is very, very appropriate for the location. We do require D variance for this application because of the fact that we have variances associated with the construction. As Nick pointed out, this is a conditional use at the location. The proofs for conditional use D variance are a lot different than the use that's not actually permitted in the ordinance. As you know, with the D variance, what you're typically hearing is us talk about a bunch of special reasons and why this specific piece of property is appropriate for this change of use or use that's not permitted. That's not really what the discussion is on a case like this. With the conditional use, we just have to prove that our deviations don't create a situation that the property becomes no longer suitable for the use that you intended to be here. I think that based on the surrounding land uses that I've already described, and I think that the discussion that I've had of the deviations around the project with regard to how we arrived at each one of the variances proves out that although we have deviations, the site is still considered to be appropriate for use. We have adequate area. We have lower building and lot covers than what is permitted. So those three items in themselves prove that we are not trying to overbuild this property and that this project is appropriate for this specific property.
And it'll have conforming parking, John?
The project is not requiring or not requesting a parking variance, and it will be compliant.
And the height will be compliant.
And the height will be compliant.
All right. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've gone through Roger's report, the technical comments in the report, and we don't have any objection to it.
Okay, so, yes.
Is that a governor strip along Ventnor Avenue?
We are currently showing a governor strip along Ventnor Avenue.
Currently, the property has some very nice trees and shrubbery. Hopefully, when this site is developed, that there could be addition of trees.
Absolutely.
For the record, you just want to stand up a second?
Of course, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
There's little chance to save it.
We'll try to preserve the addition trees to the extent feasible.
All but one has to, yeah, one has to go, yeah, everything else. I think we can bring in some real landscape.
Because I know that on Newark, there used to be brokers before. Now you can't do that because of the two driveways.
Corner we have.
But that portion between might be something, some additional shrubbery.
It can go around the L shape and just run it, run the corner.
It'd be nice.
Just a comment on this. With the construction site, it may be, you may have to replace the trees and so on because they're going to, most often they're in the way on these small lots. So you have to figure in that they're, in some way they have to be there or be replaced. But I think you might have to replace them. And with a substantial tree, not some little tiny,
Mr. Chairman, we would have no business, no objection to a condition. We work with Mr. McLaurin on the landscaping plan if this were to be approved as a condition. And whatever he says goes, we know he's a very reasonable guy.
Yeah, because it's a tight lot and usually these things go and that's so. Let's be practical. Okay. Nick, please go.
If you don't like it, it's Roger's fault on the landscaping.
That's right.
Seaweed. Put some seaweed on it.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
I'm sorry.
So I understand why you designed it the way you did, and as usual, you were very eloquent in your presentation. But it's new construction, and in addition to the use variance, you're asking for 9 other variants.
There's no use variance. The use is permitted. We're asking for conditional use variance, which is very different than the normal
you're
standard.
You're asking for a conditional. So bottom line is you're asking for 10 variances, and 9 of them are for the building itself because you need relief for setbacks and whatever. And I always say the same thing. I have a real problem with so many variances with new construction.
Yeah, so again, obviously you have the authority to grant these variances or the legislature wouldn't have created planning and zoning boards. So the question is for conditional use deviation, because again, the governing body has made it a permitted use subject to certain conditions. Despite the deviations we're asking for, is the site still suitable for this use? That's the question. We think it is, provided the testimony, there are reasons. So for example, your ordinance doesn't take into account that we have a corner lot. So we lose, because most of Ventnor Avenue conforms, it's 12 feet. But it would normally be an interior lot, 8 feet. So we
I understand
4 feet.
That, but we're guided by the ordinances that are on the books.
Right.
That's what we look at.
Correct, but your authority is to grant deviations when warranted.
Understood.
Yeah, and we have a condition here, corner lot, that's not contemplated in your ordinance. So that's why zoning boards are created. You're acting as a zoning board now, to deal with unforeseen circumstances. That's one of the unforeseen circumstances. So we think we meet the proofs.
So I certainly know where you're coming from, and I've certainly heard that here before, right? So I think what's important to recognize is that they went through an iterative design process, started with a single family detached. And think about that project for a minute, because I think that's important to understanding why we think that although if you count the variances up, there's a lot of them. I think that it's important to understand what this project looks like if you don't create those variances. Let's say for a second we decide, okay, we can conform all the way around for a 2 detached single family house when you come in for 1 front yard setback a year, and you're happier because we have 1 variance. But what that's going to do is that's going to make a 4-foot side yard, 4-foot side yard, 4-foot side yard, whatever you would hopefully grant here, and it's going to create 2 square boxes because they don't have the ability, if you're trying to reduce variances, they're not going to have the ability to get the square footage they need and still have all these projections. So, and as I said, as an example, I could take that off. Bam, I just got rid of 2 variances. But is that a better plan? I don't think that it is. I can do the same thing over here. I can take that off and move the slabs over here, get rid of a couple of variances.
I understand that, but what we're looking at now, which currently exists, even though it's dilapidated, is a single family home.
Correct.
On that lot, and it's very open, despite all the overgrowth. it's very open and airy, and now we're expanding it outward, and that's the part that troubles me, because we have to give you relief in order to do that. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about it, but that doesn't please me.
The other thing I do think is extremely important is that the amount of open space that they are giving you on the avenue. That's where that mass, when you're driving down the avenue, when that mass is up on Ventnor Avenue, you really feel it, right?
Because that area is dense to begin with.
It is.
Yeah.
There's it's all mixed use. You've got commercial, you've got houses, you've got, tiny little yards from old properties that were built a long time ago where they didn't enforce zoning or do any kind of zoning. And, you know, to put something larger than I would like to see it there now, to me, it's just increasing that density.
May I ask a question? Are you finished, Lorraine? Are you complete? Are you complete with your questioning?
I was just responding to his explanation.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you. That's all. I have a question in that you have the outcroppings on the, we'll call it the Newark Avenue side. How wide is that and how far does that project out?
When you say on the Newark Avenue side...
No, that would be left. Over there, over... Move your finger over, it says Newark, it says Newark Avenue. It says the porch, where the porch is.
These decks are in the middle here.
Come around the other side.
Oh,
right there, right there.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. How, let's see...
About 2 feet, right?
So the building wall projection for that distance jumps out 2 feet.
2 feet.
And then the porch has a setback of 5 feet.
And how wide is it?
How wide is it?
Yes.
I'm going to say it's about 12 feet wide.
Right.
13 feet, 3 inches.
There you go.
Okay. From the front of the building to the back of the building along that line, how long is the building?
From here to here?
Yes.
So if you're taking 10 and 5, so you're taking roughly 15 away from 76. So you're 61.
So it's 13 feet, which is about 20% of 61. Not even that.
20% would be...
12 feet. Yeah, about 12 feet. Yeah. So it's about 20% of the wall, but it takes the flatness out of that wall.
It does, yes.
That's something that the board has asked for on many properties, is to take the flatness out of the wall. That's a little architectural side to it. And then the two pieces in the front, they also take the flatness out of the front of the building, which is 35 feet wide, if I'm not mistaken. No. How wide is your building exactly?
For the main building wall.
Right. 46 feet, I think it is, isn't it?
Minus 19. So 40.
I thought it was 46. Okay. So now you have 48 and you have those two outcroppings that are about half of that for the front. And they take the flatness out of the front, right?
Correct.
Okay. So there's an architectural significance in this going on. Only thing I'm bringing this up is because the board has asked for this before.
Yeah, and Mr. Barnhart advised the client that projection, its ground flatness, was a desirable feature. And when you look at the architectural plan, it carries up. It's Ventnor Avenue, so you have a lot of space on each side, and it adds a lot of visual interest, in my opinion.
Right. So.
I don't have a problem with the front porch. Mm. I do believe you need that there.
Yeah.
But we still have other things that are there that I'd like to see go away.
Oh.
Can we talk a little bit about what's going on the third floor over here? Because it seems to be a lot of structure there, but very little detail as to about that structure. We're looking at a rooftop deck, which I don't know. That is very
low. It says rooftop deck is not permitted above the third floor.
Above the third floor. So being on the third floor is it's
permitted.
Okay.
Within the building envelope.
I see 5 bedrooms existing and 2 spots per.
Yes.
Yeah.
Peter, that's a good point. Is how many bedrooms are in there now?
How many bedrooms are in there?
Yeah, it's 4 bedrooms per unit.
Four per unit.
Four per unit.
Well, there's one on the first floor.
Oh, yeah.
And there's four.
It's five.
There's five.
One, two, three, four.
No, one's five. One's like the 12th ascent.
And I'm questioning whether or not that upper level is, I mean, there's no indication of what the structure is in the middle. I'm assuming that the rear section is a vaulted area over those bedrooms, but I really don't know that for certain. I mean, it looks like it's pushing the envelope a little bit on bedrooms and space.
I can't even read it.
I'm magnifying it.
It's
more like a third floor than a room.
And what is also, what's the height of the building here?
It's on a five.
Let's see what we have here. What's the height?
Yeah.
29.
Bedroom
it's only, five. Only 29 feet?
Yeah, it's only two stories.
So that's
This is like one, two, one, two, three, four.
That's parking.
Doesn't count. Okay, so it's three. Two and a half.
Two. There's no living space on the third floor.
Oh, there's no living space on
there? There's no third floor.
That's just the roof.
That's just the roof.
Okay. All right. So, this...
We're discussing right now.
They can create a parking space.
They can create a parking space.
Push up that set of search.
I always do search, but I never find anything. I think you're looking at the fourth floor is the question.
You have to speak into the microphone, yeah. Please.
Fourth floor is the question, yes. That's just a roof deck, that's it. Not livable, enclosed space.
As the roof plan, but I'm sure
it looks like there's living space. Another living
space.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, there's that deck, and I don't know, does the elevator go up to that level?
No.
There's a lot of roof structure.
I think,
there's just no detail of what's going on up there.
Nice. Looks like
whether or not that rear section is living space or a vaulted ceiling above the roof.
Back here?
Yes.
Back here would be the
same. Do you have a larger rendering of this?
Slightly. John, do you have the larger?
I was trying to properly answer, yes.
Maybe just clarify this. The builder just explained that that top level, there's no habitable floor space up there. There's only the room of transportation element to get you up to that depth. The rest of it is just roof structure.
How much of that upper level is deck? I can't determine that from the print.
It's just that it's the front portion of
the square footage.
Is that is it just in the front of the building?
Yes.
And there's nothing in the back. It's all roof.
Yeah. Rooftop. Yeah.
So the back of the building is roof and the front is deck.
This is deck. So there's a gable roof in the back, sir, that's inaccessible in the front, facing Newark.
Right.
They're all accessible.
Right.
Just to be clear. Sorry,
okay.
It's clear, but it's clear.
And, I don't know. And where are your HVAC systems, your compressors going to be? Nick? Where are the compressors going to be?
Yeah, where the HVAC? On the roof.
I just want to point it out, but yeah, it's on the roof.
Because that was the solution that was used over on, I think on Buffalo Avenue or Richmond Avenue.
Yeah.
That was used over there was to put them on the up in the upper level.
This is too small for you, probably.
Wait. If you're going to speak, you're going to have to come up to the microphone.
Yeah. So it'll be on there's accessible points on the Newark Avenue side, the front decks on the roof. That's where the HVAC will be.
Right.
Each respective, one on each.
Okay.
Right.
And just as another aside, where is the trash storage going to be?
Garage.
In the garage.
Right, in the garage.
Two closed garages on each, two car garages on each.
Right.
So a nice space, nice amount of space.
Okay.
In turn.
Your garages face, your garage is open on Ventnor Avenue, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or Newark Avenue?
Newark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have to bring cars across the sidewalk.
Yes,
sir. And there. There was another solution that came about in another case where there was a request for mirrors to be at the garage door.
Yeah.
So as you were pulling out, you could see down further across the sidewalk, so that you would be able to. I think that was the board had felt that, and the engineers had felt that was a viable solution. So I think that should.
That would be acceptable, Mr. Chairman.
I think that should also be put into the plan.
Absolutely acceptable.
So we still have the situation with the 5 bedrooms in the parking.
That downstairs should be an office. That was a mistake.
Yeah. The other thing is that the architectural plan, they're depicting 2 stacked garage spaces, and we have 18 feet to the garage door outside.
But he's showing 17 on his.
Well, we have a layout of 18, which is what gives us the dimensions that we show. So
right.
That would give you 3 spaces.
Who's right? Right.
So the architectural plans will be corrected to reflect that.
Yeah, it'll be updated.
So you'll have two stacked parking places per unit.
Yeah, there's adequate depth in the garage for actually 2.5 spaces on those. It's 2 spaces plus some storage space, but
right.
We propose the front wall to be at 18 feet because it's 17 feet. Somebody's going to park in front of it. So we propose for it to comply.
Push the door back in.
Right.
Yeah. So you'll have 3 spaces. You'll have 3 stacked spaces, 1 outside and 2 inside.
Okay.
What is the outside of the outside space?
18 feet.
It's exactly 18?
Yes.
Okay.
The ordinance for the conditional use for attached single family indicates non-garage spaces have to be 8 by 18 as a minimum. And they will meet that if they push it back a foot on their architecture.
Okay. So, did we diminish a variance?
That's not a variance.
Okay. That was not a variance. Okay.
Well, it would have been.
Right.
I mean, I haven't seen the architecturals tonight.
Okay. All right. The bedroom now, there was was considered the 5th bedroom. That was on the first floor, or the second floor, I mean.
First floor.
It was on the second floor?
First floor.
Or third floor.
That was the first floor, that bedroom. First floor. Well, second floor, I'm sorry. It's technically, it's the living space where
the it's the floor above the garage.
Yeah.
First floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Part of the floor above.
And that is being renamed an office, not a bedroom.
That actually should be here, but unfortunately, yeah. Oh, it says 5. Yeah, well, it's a little small. Mm.
What is the size of the room?
Garage. Do they have these?
They have smaller version. Yeah.
You guys have smaller copies. I apologize for that. Size of the bedroom is the question?
Yeah.
Parking is important now, even if they
yeah.
They have to.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the parking. What is the size of the room that's the office?
Which one is the office? Give you a proper answer without guessing. Pardon me.
Because it may not even qualify for a bedroom. What's a bedroom? It's got to be 9 by 81 square feet or 90 square feet.
It's bigger than that.
Pardon?
It's bigger than that.
Okay.
So it's about 10 by 12.
It'll be 10 by 12. Okay.
That'll be an office.
And it'll be.
It'll be up there.
All right.
If that ever becomes office. Which.
Okay.
Isn't this big?
No, same size as bedroom.
All right. Now, is it possible for you to eliminate any other variances from this application?
Nick.
Can the building be shrunk by 2 feet?
No.
So that the rear can be 10 feet, 12 feet.
We can reduce the front deck a couple of feet.
Willing to reduce the deck 2 feet if that helps.
On the front.
I'm just asking, is how can you reduce a variance? Is if you reduce that, does that eliminate a variance or doesn't it?
If you cut 2 feet off the front deck, it would get rid of two variances.
Okay.
Exactly.
What is the size of the deck now?
They would go to, well...
What is the size now?
There's different sizes on different levels.
Okay.
So on the first floor level, they would go to 13 to 11 is the deck.
2 feet is fine.
Yeah. And then on the upper level, it's 9, would go to 7. So the narrowest the deck would be 7 on the upper level.
Okay.
And that would eliminate variances for the decks for both lots, so it would get rid of two variances.
Now, in the builder's opinion, could you do that and not hurt your property?
Yes. Well, we already discussed that, yes.
Okay. So that's two we're down now.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Of course.
All right. All right. Do you have anything further you wish to add to your application?
Yeah, I think in the Rogers report, the Ventnor Avenue was shown as a 10 feet. It's really 12 feet. It's only 10 feet at that one spot, so I don't know if that's counted as part of the variances, but I note that for the record.
Either it is or it isn't.
If it was a bay window, I'd say no, it's not a variance, but since it's living space, it's more than just a projection.
Yeah, okay. Forget it. I was thinking of something else, Mr. Chairman.
But keep in mind that because it's one building, so you need two variances because they're two lots, but it's actually one variance. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You're applying two variances to one building.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we require it to be symmetrical.
Right.
So we're requiring it to be symmetrical, but the same variances are being duplicated twice.
Correct.
And so there's really only five variances, and then on each building. Because they're the same.
That stuff comes out to 10.
Now we're down to, are we down to 8?
8.
All right.
8.
It is what it is.
We're down to 8 now, right?
5 and 6.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, please continue.
Do we have anything else? John, you done?
No, this is not going to...
We have nothing else, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, I want to open up to the public if I can.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
All right, pardon me, members. Pardon me. We're going to open up to the public now for their comments. So, does anyone in the public wish to make comment on this application? Gee, I hear none. So, at this time, the public portion is now closed. Mr. Nick, do you have anything further you wish to add?
So, Mr. Chairman, can we take 2 minutes to conference here?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Just real quick.
I want to move this along.
Okay, just so I'm clear.
We're done.
I
think that is, I'm say back 18 feet here, 18 feet here, they technically have a parking space outside.
Two more variants.
Six. And okay. No, sidewalk.
Well, we'll just talk about that.
That's 18 feet.
Another way. So we,
well, Roman brought it up.
Yes.
We have a proposal.
All right. Pardon me, people.
We have clearly we have to do a better job explaining the design. We'd like to postpone this for the next meeting in November, the first meeting. Bring our architect.
We don't know if we can do the next meeting. We'll find out from our
NACIS
board administrator when you can come back.
Okay. I think we'll be a short time, but yes, understood.
Great.
If you have an answer today, if not, you'll have to give an answer tomorrow.
Yeah, I can let them know.
Okay.
So, Second meeting in February was next available.
It's actually February, it's a Monday, February 27th.
What is it?
February 27th, Monday evening.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
February.
So we'll ask for it to be continued, we'll bring our more detailed plans, and we'll bring our architect in.
Okay, so that's February 27th, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Yeah, some of us are old, I guess.
Now, I gotta make a formal.
All right, let's, pardon me one second, let's be quick.
So can we announce the hearing date for the public?
Our solicitor's going to talk to you. So Leo has the floor.
Okay, so this is going to be, this application will be continued to February 27th, 6:30 PM in this room. The applicant will not be required to republish or renotice. So anyone here from the public, this is your official announcement to be here on the 27th, same room, 6:30 PM. Board members, try and keep your plans, and it'd be nice if we can, you know, stuff happens, but if we can, we need seven of you here now.
Right, we need these seven.
Luckily, we have like nine now, okay, so we need like seven out of the nine of you.
But the only people, to my knowledge, am I correct, that can vote on this application since it's being continued would be those that are here today.
In theory, an absent member can listen to the tape of the hearing.
Nine can vote, so we need seven votes.
Need five.
Seven people are going to vote.
Okay.
It's five out of seven to pass, but it looks like one, two, three, four. There's an eight or nine here now, so.
But we should have the same group that's here now, so that it's being continued. And we'll need you.
Eight.
Yeah, and we'll need you for the hearing.
There's 80 here now. Hopefully, at least seven will be here.
And that will be the case. So with that, thank you very much for doing this, and it'll make this a lot easier. Take care. Have a good night. At this time, is there anything that needs to be discussed before the board? Any new business?
I just have a question.
Go ahead.
It's been about the board so much. What's going on with the board?
Pardon me?
Support. What's going on there?
Sapporo, to my name, is my understanding is now not a non-issue. They're not going to be building the project.
What happened to the liquor license?
Yeah.
I heard they couldn't do this.
Right.
They can't sell the license.
They haven't closed on it yet.
It doesn't exist in the building.
Right.
Well, because it was issued for that address.
It wasn't issued yet. To my knowledge, it's not been issued.
It's only for the lot.
So it goes back on the market?
You'll have to speak with the committee.
I'm just very curious how that all works.
The best answer that I can guide anybody to is to speak with Lance, the commissioner. He'll give you the up-to-date, best information. I will give you stuff that's probably wrong, so I'm not going to give you any information.
So many people have asked me.
I had heard the same thing, and talking to Lance, I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Oh, really?
But I want him to say it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, what happens to the money they pay for the liquor license? Is that history?
Well, they can't sell it, can they?
Well, I don't know. Does it get back to the city, or do they get the money back? How does that work?
I don't know if that's even an issue.
Well, if they own a liquor license, they can sell it. They can sell it.
They can sell it, yeah.
CDS approved.
I think we should address this with Lance, and that way we get the proper question, we get the proper answers. I don't have.
It's a shame. It was such a great presentation.
It was a great plan.
It really was.
It was a good plan. So is there, okay, is there any more that we have?
I was questioning how that was going to work.
Anything else on the record, I mean, that we need to discuss? Are we ready for adjournment?
Yep.
May I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
We be done.
All right, I'd like to make an announcement. I didn't take any classes this semester. It would have started tonight.